Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Professor Brendan Kelly, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. You've come in to talk to us about how our minds and our bodies react to hot temperatures. And it's hard to imagine it on a day like today where it's raining non-stop. But, you know, when you look at lots of novels or films, you know, hot weather often precedes, you know, whatever, the big tempestuous row or the deadly deed. But is it a myth that heat makes us more tetchy?
No, that's not a myth at all. The heat affects all aspects of our body, our cardiovascular system, our skin, our kidneys, our digestion, our minds. It affects everything. And you ask, does it make people tetchy? Yes, I think most people hold the view that the heat makes other people tetchy, but we rarely think it does so to ourselves. But look, it does.
It does. And in terms of, you know, how do we cope with this? Because obviously, you know, we go through periods of good weather and perhaps not good weather in an Irish summer, but it's a true to say that maybe we're on a shorter fuse maybe during the summer when it does kind of reach those higher temperatures.
Yes, that's it exactly. We have a shorter fuse, and we see this in terms of being annoyed at other people in a very minor way, but also in more serious ways. We see rises in reports of interpersonal violence and rises in reports of domestic violence when the temperature increases. Even an increase of as much as, you know, as little as 1 degree Celsius will produce an increase in reported interpersonal violence.
So what has happened then physiologically then to create that shorter fuse?
Well,
what are we missing?
Well, a whole bunch of stuff is happening in the body, because very often this is during the summertime, and there's increased light as well. So there tends to be increased vitamin D and decreased melatonin. And that's the one I would really point to, Dervil.
Because the vitamin D is a good thing, is it not?
The vitamin D is
very good thing. Yeah.
The increased serotonin is generally a good thing. But the decreased melatonin. Now, melatonin is a hormone produced by our brain, and it tells us to go to sleep. What happens during the summer, for example, is we simply produce less of it, we sleep less, and we don't cope very well with that. We have a shorter fuse.
So it's kind of, it's almost like a knock-on impact, higher temperatures, not getting as much rest, not being able to perhaps sleep as well. I often think sometimes you go on holidays, you don't sleep as well when you're on holidays. And again, it might be that heat. So are siestas a good idea?
Generally speaking, no. It is good to keep
a wee disco nap.
No. I'm having none of it.
I love a wee disco nap when I'm on holiday. Okay.
No, I mean, our bodies are built for rhythms. So sleeping at night and awake during the day. So, for example, during the summertime, when there's more sunshine and more light during the day and the night isn't as dark, we need to really lean into that sunshine during the day, spend time outside so that we optimise our sleep at night, because it is more difficult during the summer. So a nap is a particularly bad idea in the summer, unfortunately.
Good advice for anyone who's listening whilst packing for the sun. Don't give in to the wee disco nap. Keep going. What about, and I find this even myself sometimes when it's very hot, your concentration, or even if it's muggy or something, that it does seem to lessen our focus.
Well, our short-term memory is very impacted by a high temperature and also a lack of sleep, as is our concentration. Our sustained concentration isn't as good. So, for example, the optimal temperature for an office or a workplace is between 20 and 22 degrees Celsius. Once it goes above that, a cognitive performance declines, thinking skills slip. So in the hot weather, it is generally recommended to work in the morning or the evening and sort of give
that's
up.
That's the siesta bit then, is it?
Well, I'm not saying to take, you're absolutely determined to receive some kind of medical advice to go to sleep in the afternoon.
Any and that, justification.
It is not going to happen today, unfortunately, because what you should do is spend some time indoors, spend some time out of the sun in the middle of the day, not necessarily in your bed.
I'm not winning this one at all. So you say, right, so 20 to 22 degrees in an office or an indoor workplace, and after that you might get tired and irritable. do employers know this kind of thing? They must have a
oh, they
good
do.
Sense, yeah.
They certainly do. And some of the big employers who employ, you know, people who run, for example, call centres with hundreds of people working in them, yeah. they actively monitor the temperature and monitor output, you know, to a degree that is not necessarily helpful. It can be a bit big brothery, the extent to which some of the huge employers take it.
It's interesting, and I've seen a lot of stuff about this. What does Brendan think, this is one of our listeners, about the summer dress guideline for offices? This mightn't be technically within your clinical competence, but one of our listeners says the suits and formal wear are a killer in the heat. Should they let us wear shorts?
Should they let you wear
yes.
shorts? Well, let's just be a little more vague and say it's important employers take into account that workers need to be comfortable and also presentable in the workplace. I do think there should be a good degree of flexibility in
good
fairness.
Good degree of
time.
Flexibility. What about, and you referenced there earlier, just an extraordinary correlation between increased temperature and the rises in interpersonal violence, including domestic abuse. So what then temperature should we be at homes? Because particularly, you know, sometimes you're just, you know, putting the heat up or whatever, but what should the ideal temperature in your home be?
Well, look, again, 20 to 22 degrees is ideal. Most of the time, it's ideal for sleep. And in relation to violence, Derval, it's interesting that the temperature seems to be a risk multiplier. So that if there are risk factors there already, conflict or tension will just become that little bit worse. So it tends not to be the root cause of a problem, but it multiplies or magnifies pre-existing risks. And we see this not just in the home, but socially as well, that, you know, in situations of political instability, a significant rise in temperature can just send things past boiling point.
Yeah, another one says, I love the heat. This is Nick. It says 25 degrees is perfect for me. I feel healthier, fitter and generally more comfortable. The cold weather makes me feel old and stiff. Is there such a thing as people, you know, some people say I'm a winter person, I'm a summer person. Does that sort of hold through? That we have, like, is that, what is the cause behind that?
Well, there's a few causes behind that, but it is a very real thing. And many people like that listener will notice that they're a winter person or a summer person, a cold person or a hot person. And that is partly biological. Our body tissue, particularly the nature of fat tissue in the human body, we have different mixes of that. And some people are biologically better able to cope with cold than they are able to cope with heat. So, for example, I would be very much a winter person and would have a tendency to enjoy the cold more than to enjoy the heat. And that is a biological thing as well as a cultural thing.
So as well as our temperaments then, does that sort of sensitivity to heat, does that affect our metabolism?
Oh yes, it does. It affects all aspects of our body, particularly our metabolism and our digestion. A lot of people feel the need to eat less in the summer. Other people don't, but some people do. And the advice tends to be to eat lighter foods and maybe not big meals, but more frequent meals. And that assists with most people's digestion.
And what about hydration? Because obviously if you're sweating, that's the body's natural way of cooling down. But is hydration important?
Yeah. So certainly in the heat, hydration matters and taking frequent drinks is important. Maybe not huge, big, large drinks, but frequent drinks is what matters in order to balance out that sweating, but also to be not sweating for a period of time. So again, this is getting inside. If you're going on a sun holiday, going inside for a couple of hours in the middle of the day, but not necessarily having a nap, just to go back to that.
I'm not listening to you. I'm going to try and hold on to my little disco naps. But it does raise a serious point, though. How do we, because this entered into the lexicon of our language, how do we cool down, you know, physically, physiologically, as well as perhaps emotionally when the heat is on?
Look, they're the same thing. Cooling down physiologically and emotionally are very much the same thing. Our minds, our brains are right there attached to our bodies through our necks. So these things are the same. So it's important not to get too hot to begin with. So if you're out in the sun, obviously sunscreen, wearing a hat, hydrating as consistently rather than dramatically, spending a bit of time inside is important as well. And also trying to minimize your physical activity during the middle of the day is important. You know, we lose a lot when we sweat, so we need to sort of manage that and have a period during which we're not perspiring in the middle of the day.
You're getting all the questions here. Another listener, John, says to ask you about heat. What about a sauna?
So a sauna is something quite different, because a sauna is a relatively short period of time and our bodies like that, very interestingly, because it is not especially sustained and it is often different to the surrounding temperature. So our bodies do like to experience changes in temperature, you know, changes in the light. We enjoy that. But in a sustained way, we do need to spend time in the kind of environment we're used to. So for most Irish people, that means if you go off to the blazing sun, you spend an hour or two indoors each day.
Loads of questions coming in this topic. Another one just said, have you any quick tips for finding patience? If you find that you are perhaps rying on holidays and the heat is maybe, as you say, maybe contributing to that, and you may not realise that you are the one, not just others, who are irritable.
Right. Yes, indeed. I mean, if you notice that everyone else is getting irritable and you're the only one who is not, you know, the chances are that you're part of the brigade there. Look, the important thing to do is to remember temperature, to go to a cooler place, to spend a bit of time alone, and to maybe to do an activity on your own that you become absorbed in. So that might mean reading your book on your own. It might mean tuning into a podcast or just getting absorbed in some solitary activity and literally getting the temperature down.
Finally, if it does all come back to sleep, any top tips for a good night's sleep in the summertime?
Well, the first thing is, during the day, do lean into the summer. If it's sunny, you are better off going outside for at least part of the day, telling your body it is daytime. So in the evening, when you go back in, your body gets a pretty clear message that it's bedtime now. But above all, Dervil, if I had one final tip, it would be do not take that nap during the day.
I was just about to say this is beginning to feel very, very personal. Professor Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin, thank you very, very much for that. And just coming up to 12, we are going to pause now for the Angelus.